The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
On today's show, we spent the entire afternoon at the Downtown Eastside Women's Memorial March. We'll start out with the Women's Warrior Song, which has been sung at the march for decades. And that was the Women's Warrior Song at the Women's Memorial March on Sunday. One of the people attending was Jamie Smallboy. She knows several missing Indigenous women herself and decided to offer free ribbon skirts, which she sewed by hand with a team of volunteers. They made 112 of them. Here's why she did it.
Every sewing session, it's a group of different women, and we have excellent teams when they come out. So there was a call out on Saturday or on Friday because our sewing machines weren't working. So everyone just hit social media and they're like, can you come and help? And it was just an outpouring of help on Saturday. We got them all done. We needed 52. We got them done.
What made you decide you wanted to do ribbon skirts this year? What inspired this?
Well, so the march inspired me. In 2011 was the first time that I saw the march, and seeing the drumming and the singing and the medicines and the praying reignited a part of my life that was so dormant for so long. I was so lost and disconnected. I started my own healing journey, returning to culture back home. I spent a summer there, and I was gifted skirts to join the ceremonies. And the gifting of skirts just like gave me such pride as an Indigenous woman, and reminded me that I'm a life giver and that should be honored, respected, and protected. So when I came home and I could feel, you know, the heaviness that still resides here, I wanted to share that with the women, the families of the women that have lost, that they've lost, and I wanted to give them that ceremonial skirt. They're sacred and they're healing, and it's healing to make them that ceremony yourself. So I wanted to do that. So last year I asked the committee if that's something that I could do, was to gift the family skirts, and they said sure. So then I just started knocking on doors, emailing everybody and seeing what I could get. Gesso Fabrics was the first place to acknowledge that, and they donated fabric and we went from there. Strathcona Community Center have been so amazing giving us a home to go and do the skirts at, and like the amount of support that's been pouring in this year is incredible. It shows that this march is doing its job, reminding that there is genocide taking place in Canada, and there's so many people that are willing and wanting to help, you know, stop that, to bring awareness.
Do you know how many skirts you think you made this year?
We came here with 112. Our goal was 100. So we came with 112 and two tiny little ones for babies. And last year we made 100. And hopefully if there, you know, more people come together and donate the fabrics or, you know, contributions so that we could buy materials, hopefully next year we'll be able to give them to all the families.
Did you see people wearing them today? And yes. How did that feel to see them?
It was really, I don't know how to describe it. It was heartfelt. It felt really good to see them all in solidarity, knowing that they're connected and knowing that their loved ones probably see them as well, because red is the only color that spirits in our culture recognize. So hopefully their loved ones will see this sea of red and come and march with them today.
And for this, is there anyone that you're here remembering today in particular?
Several, actually. My childhood friend Marlis, she's a distant cousin of mine. Her daughter is being searched for in Edmonton right now by Enoch Reservation. She's been missing since December 24th, well, Christmas Eve. And then a late friend of mine, I want to say her name. She was such a dear friend. We lost her just before Christmas. Another murdered. Orlean Erminskin, Andrea Mycat, Georgina Pappin, I knew her. There's just so many.
You know Georgina. I've met her family quite often.
Yeah. I knew her. I know her brothers, Rick and George. Her cousin Tammy. Well, they were like sisters. And her daughter, Christina, reached out to me on Facebook after seeing us last year. So... a lot. And then I knew women down here that took care of me when I first became homeless. They were part of my life one day, and then I just never seen them. Still to this day, don't know what happened to them.
You talked about genocide. Could you say a bit more about that?
About the genocide? Well, I didn't know what genocide was. I didn't know what intergenerational trauma or PTSD, or I didn't know I was suffering from the impacts of colonialism. But the genocide that's taking place isn't just with our Indigenous women and girls. It's like we have a target. We're the most likely to be abducted, kidnapped, raped, beaten, killed than any other race. And it's really disgusting that that's allowed. You see murderers like the one that murdered Tina Fontaine. He got away with it. He got acquitted, even though everything, there was evidence and everything. So that just told Canada, it's okay. It's okay to go ahead and kill Indigenous women because you're going to get away with it. The court system says it's okay. Like what happened with Cindy Gaju, the trial that's going on right now. That's another disturbing one. You know, the courts are saying it's okay. You're going to get acquitted. You're going to walk. It's okay for you to kill our women. But we're here to say it's not okay. Genocide can happen. You know, unless they want to steal our children, unless they want to put us in jail, unless they want to take our land, you know, we're invisible. Our women are invisible, but the march is a yearly reminder that we're not, and that it's no longer acceptable and it can't be ignored. And the fact that so many non-Indigenous people are coming together, you know, it's encouraging.
And that was Jamie Smallboy. Another person attending was Geraldine Webster, also known by her hip-hop name JB First Lady, who talked about the importance of the march, which she's been attending since she was a child.
I've been coming since I was a teenager, and, you know, it's like 15 years later, and we're still standing up, and it's so important to stand up for women, just women in general around the world. We experience violence on a daily basis, so for us as Indigenous women to bring our cedar hats, our button blankets, our ribbon skirts, our feathers, our prayers, our singing and drumming, so strong, so powerful to see our elders who have been working nonstop to bring awareness to missing and murdered Indigenous women, you know, Two-Spirit, trans, the queer community. We really have to bring those to the forefront. And for me, it's just such a powerful day to be able to use and uplift each other who are doing this very frontline work.
Is there anything different about this year that you feel?
Yeah, I just feel like when compared to when I was younger, there was no one had regalia, no one had cedar hats, and now you're seeing that resurgence that we always talk about as Indigenous people. We're reclaiming, rebuilding our spirits as community, and doing that with having these cultural items, these treasures to protect us, but also to uplift ourselves and each other. So it's very beautiful to be here.
Usually the elders at the front will have the regalia, but this year I see a lot of ribbon skirts, a lot of beautiful woven hats and shawls and everything.
So amazing, yeah. And actually at Strathcona Community Center, they were doing sewing for 100 skirts. Yeah, Jamie Smallboy. I helped out yesterday, so that was amazing.
Why did you help out with that?
Oh, I've been...
I know you love ribbon skirts.
I love ribbon skirts. I love sewing. I'm so happy to be able to contribute to the family, to honor them. When we wear our regalia, it's uplifting our spirit, strengthening our spirit. When we wear our cedar hats, when we wear our ribbon skirts, that is strengthening ourselves, adoring ourselves. There's a teaching that your aunties make your regalia to strengthen that spirit. So that's kind of like what we were doing. Like Jamie was like wanting to strengthen the spirits of the missing and murdered Indigenous women's families, and that's such a powerful thing.
For you, what do you think this like time of pandemic is teaching us about what we need to do to address these problems and crises?
To sit and pray, to take this time to heal yourself. This time we get to be with our own family members in our own households. We have to strengthen ourselves because this is a very, very hard time. And the way that you do that is you use your own ceremony from where you're from, your own prayers, your own songs, and take that time. So that's what I'm trying to do, because I used to travel twice a month for doing music and everything, and now I get to be home with my family, and I'm gonna take that time to heal myself. And I've been forced to do that through pandemic, to be able to look at myself and take the time.
And that was Geraldine Webster, also known as JB First Lady. And here is Carol Martin, who gave a speech after the rally. She's one of the original organizers from 30 years ago.
I want to thank you all for coming out and standing in solidarity with our issues. This is just not something that's just on the surface. This goes down really, really deep. I'm really, really honored to have been walking alongside our elder Rita. I'm kind of sad though. She's a wealth of knowledge, and she stood by us and fought with us, you know. We took over the Women's Center, I don't know, about 13, 14 years ago when we couldn't get our women into shelters. And we occupied the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, and we got a shelter for our sisters because of stigma, racism, all the labels, everything that's attached to us. We couldn't get our sisters into any safe place, shelters or transition houses. And so we positioned ourselves beside this elder and occupied the women's center until we got a shelter going. We've done a lot of things over the years, traveled as far back east as we could for defending the land, talking about our homelessness, housing. I like what you said, Bernie. It's a different frame of mind for me. You know, we're not homeless. We're houseless on our own land. That's a new seed that's planted in my head. You know, when we, this has been a really, really tough two years. The last two have been just going downhill with a lot of our women. And Rita has stood by us. She's like the tree, the strength. Someone who we can go to when we fall to our knees. Someone who will bring out the medicine and remind us of our roots and who we are. Our culture definitely has saved our lives. And to each and every one that's standing here, we have lost someone very close to us. I want you to all take a look at each other's, take a look at who you're standing by, and learn to protect. Because if we can find protection, I asked for a protection order at the National Inquiry. Who can we go to apply for a protection order? I'm not going to ask anymore. We have to do that ourselves. And you know, this elder who stood by us for so many years, I'm feeling sad. You know, she'll be with us still, but you know, I'm hoping she's just a phone call away from me because we all need our elders in our life. She's been there for so many people. She ran the healing circle down here for so many years. She did a lot of the cultural programming at the Women's Center. And like Bernie said, we lived out by the seat of our pants. We didn't know where we were going to end up. You know, defending the land or housing or rallying or violence against women or even going against the police, you know, when we try to occupy. We got Sister Watch started. So, Rita, this is just another level of our life where we're going to be working together, you know, and thank you for being there. And I want to thank everyone who is here, you know, to honor this incredible elder. I love her very much.
And that was Carol Martin. We'll hear now from Rita Blind herself, who gave her final speech as the lead elder that did this, conducts the ceremony and prayers during the rally. She passed off the reins of that duty to Cecilia Point of Musqueam Nation. Here's Rita Blind speaking on Sunday.
I am so humbled. And thank you for everything. Thank you for always being there. And, you know, our makers watching over us, especially at this time where there's so much change happening, not only here, but all over the world. So I say to you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, stand up and, you know, it's our time. It's our time is here, what they call the change. And I believe we are the change. So stay strong, pray, look after your families, look after your children. And we need to look after the earth, Gigawino, our mother. Ahau, nanaskumun, exit. Thank you. Hey, never mind. My name is White Eagle Woman, not that one. Oh, not that one.
White Eagle Woman.
White Eagle Woman.
White Eagle Woman.
Okay. Again, nihio I mean. Never mind. Thank you so much. Thank you, Cecilia. I love you. And Carol and my dear beloved friends, Myrna, Alice, all of you. Thank you.
And that was Rita Blind speaking in her last year as the lead elder for ceremonies and prayers during the Women's Memorial March. Here's some more audio from Sunday's Memorial March.
We got 30 years of stories. Just a lot of love for this woman. I want to say how again, thank you, Elder Rita, for sharing your journey with us and your teachings and your love. Ho'a.
Denise, Skyze, Sakuze, Saisozi, Alicia Peters, Gitzan Wutsuitin, Astan. This is where Cecilia Ann Nikal comes from. She is Gidimdan. She comes from the Bear Clan. She comes from the House of Spoke. She comes from Gitzan Matriarchs, and we are here to march for her today, as well as all the other missing and murdered Indigenous women and Two-Spirit. My cousin Delphine Nicole, she went missing a year after Cecilia went missing on the Highway of Tears in Smithers, BC. We're here to represent our families, and we're here to walk with all of you, to bring healing within our families, to walk in a good way. We're walking with our sisters and we love you all. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Cecilia, because in the write-ups, it doesn't say where she's from. She has a family, she has a home. You know, she's from Witsat on her grandfather's side and her grandmother's side. She's Wet'suwet'en and Gitxan. And I'm just grateful to be here. My mom's been bringing me here since I was a little girl. And now I'm 35 years old, so she's been bringing me for about 30 years. So. I feel as old as those flower girls here. But thank you for your time, and thank you for listening and sticking through the snow.
I'd just like to say, someone knows something out there. Please help our families make closure. Come forward. That's a heavy load that you're carrying. I'm very thankful for the Downtown East Side for all they have done. I started with black hair. Now I've gone Cremody Bear colors. But thank you for being there for all our families, and keep your prayer chains going. Great Spirit bless you all with love.
First, I would like to say how to the beautiful territory that we get to do this work on, the Musqueam, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Squamish. How again for allowing us here to celebrate and honor, but also to never forget our loved ones, and that Hoa to all of you for walking and taking the time to come out to support and hold up the families here. To our family members, Hoa, we are here with you, we stand with you, we hold you up. Hoa for being here. Hoa for showing your resilience, your strength, your tenacity, and your stories of your loved ones. Hoa, they are not forgotten. Today we also like to honor, back about 1991, we had met this incredible elder that I've had the honor, and I have to honor my children here too, because they sacrificed a lot for me to do this work also. We are so conjoined to this land that we walk on. One of the elders also made mention, when we talk about homeless people, don't ever call them homeless, they're houseless. The land that we walk on, that is theirs to share. And that's not for sale. That is not for sale. We are not for sale. But this woman here, our elder Rita, never complained. They get a little bit bossy every now and then, but but she's never asked anything. She's always mindful when she has her medicine. I never forget when she first started walking through on the Downtown East Side, you know, from the Women's Center with her medicine in hand. It was like parting of the Red Sea. The addicts would put their needles down, their paraphernalias down. So respectful, they would look at the elder, can you please pray with me? Can you please smudge me? And she never wavered. She never wavered. She always stood. Always had that time to talk with them, walk through the alleys with us. Carol Martin and myself, we never knew what was ahead of us. But we had trust and we had the faith in these elders, that what they've taught us is truth, and that truth is about who we are, and we rise, and we're gonna keep rising. The Red Women Rising.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.